It's a 38, and tonight sure should be an aliyah for the neshama of Zisa Zimmerman. Tonight's shir, on Kapitel Lamed Ches, is starting a series of four Kapitelach, which are finishing the first Sefer of Tehillim, the first of the five Sefrei Tehillim. And these four Kapitelach are considered by Chazal to be sort of a group of Kapitelach, and they're all discussing basically the same theme, and that is David's illness. Now, we've talked before about the Maisa with Bathsheba and David HaMelech and Uriah. However, we do try and make each week relatively self-contained. So therefore, it would behoove us to have a brief review once again. David HaMelech wanted the kind of challenges that the Avos had. David HaMelech wanted to be able to grow in Ruchnius even further than he already had. And he saw that the way the Avos grew were through Nisyonis. And every time one of the Avos had a Nisyon, it grew. And so he davened to Hashem, and he asked Hashem to give him Nisyonis like the Avos had. Now Hashem told him that you're not ready for these kind of Nisyonis. It's not appropriate for you. But David HaMelech did not desist. He continued, and Hashem told him, you won't be able to pass such a Nisyon. But he continued, and finally Hashem gave in, and he said, you know what, I'll even tell you that the type of Nisayan it's going to be, which I never did for the Avos, but you're not going to be able to pass it. And David HaMelech said, yes, he wants such a Nisayan. Hashem said, okay. David HaMelech opened his eyes and saw Bathsheba on the roof, immediately fell in love with her, made her his queen, and of course devised the plot for Uriah to be killed in battle. Now what exactly was David HaMelech's aveira here? In the times of David, when men went to war, they wrote their wives a get. They wrote their wives a divorce, and they wrote their wives a get, what's called a get al tenai, a conditional divorce. But if they don't come back from the war, that this is your divorce as of this moment. In other words, the divorce is effective today based on something will or will not happen in the future. A person can give a woman a get and say, this is the get if it rains tomorrow. And if it doesn't rain tomorrow, you're not divorced. Now, we won't know till tomorrow whether or not the get was effective. But if the get is effective, it was effective yesterday when we're now in tomorrow. Follow that one closely. So all of the soldiers in David HaMelech's war army used to write their wives a conditional divorce. So once Uriah was killed, Bathsheba was retroactively an unmarried woman. And in fact, Uriah was chayev misa for being married by Malchus, for being disrespectful and rebelling against David. And David therefore had the right to have him killed. So what exactly was David's aver? David's aver was going about this in a secretive manner and not bringing Uriah to trial before the Sanhedrin, as he should have done. Now David HaMelech may have had good motives in that he didn't want to make a big Chilul Hashem, but nonetheless, he proceeded in an inappropriate manner, and for David HaMelech this was a tremendous aver. For this aveira, David HaMelech is punished for the rest of his life beyond belief. Everything that happens to David HaMelech, from his son rebelling against him, to his first child with Bathsheba dying as an infant, to the Klal Yisrael failing to support David when Avshalom rebelled against him, all of it can be traced back to this tremendous aveira of David and Bathsheba. And this maisa with David and Bathsheba will color the rest of David's malchus, the rest of his life, and in fact everything for future generations. One of the punishments that David HaMelech received for the maisa with Bathsheba is 6 months of a severe illness, sort of a tsaras or leprosy type skin illness. During that time, David HaMelech, the Shekhinah no longer dwelled with him. The Sanhedrin would no longer sit with him, and David HaMelech lie by himself for 6 months with this tremendous illness. His body was covered head to toe with huge pus-filled blisters. And he lied that way for 6 months. While he was lying in this illness, he wrote Kapitel Lamechas and the other Kapitelot that we're going to learn. And it's a plea for compassion from the Rabbeinu Shalalem. And we will see that it's quite an accomplishment for David HaMelech to have written this Kapitel given the state that he was in. The Kapitel has 5 sections to it after the initial pasuk. We'll see there's a section number 1 where David is going to describe his illness, a second section where he describes his loneliness. So remember, everybody has departed him. Section 3, David will describe his hopes. Section 4, his fear. And finally, in section 5, David will ask for salvation from Hashem. So if we turn to the first pasuk of Lamed Ches, David HaMelech says, Mizmor LaDavid LaHazkir.
Hey, can I ask a question?
Absolutely, jump in.
Okay, so the Avera was, what part of that was the Avera?
The Avera was having Uriah killed in a sneaky roundabout way rather than in an upfront open proceeding. So he had him killed by putting him in the front lines of a battle and then having Yoav desert him so that the enemy would kill him.
Uh-huh. So if he had just said, oh, somebody, go kill him, that wouldn't have been an Avera?
If he had said, bring Uriah to me, Uriah, you are Chai of Misa because you were disrespectful to the Melech, and that's a capital offense, and I therefore order your execution. And I have the Sanhedrin sitting here in order to verify that I'm doing everything as a king properly should. There would have been no Avera.
Okay, so he was disrespectful again in what way?
He was disrespectful of the process. He was sneaky in that he devised this sneaky plan Uriah referred to Yoav as Adoni in front of David HaMelech.
Oh, that's what I want to know. Okay, so now, my biggest question is, if you don't mind, seems to me that David HaMelech's greatest Avera, in my little mind, is Mahavasita Hashem in the first place. Hashem is saying, you can't handle this. So why doesn't he say, yes, I can't handle it. You have to, you say, I believe you. You know everything. Why, isn't that major chutzpah to say, nah, I can take it, you don't know what you're saying?
It's a major misdirection of the desire on David HaMelech's part. In the mischanneling, the Avos never asked for Nisyonis. They were given Nisyonis, but they never davened, please give me more Nisyonis. The Avos were given their Nisyonis at Hashem's discretion. And David HaMelech wanted to grow like the Avos and therefore argued with Hashem over the proper way for him to grow. Well, yeah, but remember also that a lot of times, you know, Avram Avinu davened to Hashem to save Sodom, and Hashem said no, and Avram Avinu kept asking. So there's a certain idea that if what you're asking for is right, part of the test from Hashem could be your persistence. In other words, if Avram Avinu had said, well, you know, Hashem said no, oh well. But instead he came back, and a part of that Nisayon was the persistence. So it could be that David HaMelech felt part of the Nisayon is in order for me to get the Nisayon to grow, I have to show Hashem that I'm persistent, that I mean it, and that I'm willing, not willing to give up.
So that's a major premise, is that we can argue with Hashem if we're doing it with Shema, you know,
It depends who you mean by we. I would say that, yeah, a tzaddik, yes. And what we're really doing in such a case is we're asking Hashem to rejudge us based on who we are after davening. So if we are a person, let's say, and we got a 32.7 on the Hashem Ruchnius score scale, and therefore we're not worthy a miraculous refuah. And now we daven, and now we have a 39.8. So we're asking Hashem, you know, re-judge us. I redid some of my answers on the test. Can you please regrade my test? Right, is what we're really asking. But at tzaddik, such as David HaMelech, can come and can say, maybe part of my nisayon is I'm supposed to be persistent in order to get this.
Okay.
But it was a, so while it wasn't a chutzpah, it was a significant mistake.
Yeah, it was a significant mistake,
which he then compounded by using this whole sfor of, well, if I don't want to make a chol Hashem, I'll have Uriah killed in secret. And that was a significant aver. And those were one of the two, David HaMelech's two Averas. His other Avera was counting Klal Yisrael when he shouldn't have. And David HaMelech unfortunately listened to bad advice at the time. But what's interesting is, you know, Shaul HaMelech made one mistake, one Avera, and he lost his Malchus. David HaMelech made two mistakes, two Averas, and didn't lose his Malchus. He was instead punished personally. Shaul HaMelech's Avera was an Avera that resulted in him being not fit any longer to be the Melech. David HaMelech had the, was still what it takes to be the Melech. Pardon? Yes. And he lost his Malchus for that. Whereas David HaMelech's Avera did not result in him losing his Malchus. But it did result in a very severe punishment. However, there's no question, Chazal tell us, that Bat Sheva was destined for David to be his queen. The Gemara says that Bat Sheva was destined for David since Sheshes Shemei Bereishis, since the 6 days of creation. Nonetheless, this was not the way in which it should have come about. Does that answer your question?
Oh, beautiful.
So, Mizmor LeDavid LaHazkir. This is the first time we've seen LaHazkir. Mizmor LeDavid LaHazkir means what? LaHazkir means, it says here in the translation, a psalm for David to proclaim. But Hazkir has a shorish of Zecher, like remembering something. So it's a remembrance. And the Radak says that it's a reminder from David HaMelech for people to daven when they're in a situation of distress. Or this is a mizmor LeDavid, this is a psalm for David LaHazkir, to remind everybody when to daven. Now, Rashi says something similar. He says it's to remind people to daven, but David HaMelech is addressing all of Klal Yisrael, not just the individual person. But the Malbim says a beautiful pshat. You know what LaHazkir means? David HaMelech is saying, this is a mizmor for David LaHazkir, so that David should remember. So that David should remember that, you know why he's sick? He's sick because of his aver. Now the Al-Sheikh, who sometimes looks at things in an interesting way, he says, you know what? All the Mefarshim address the word LaHazkir. Mizmor LaDavid LaHazkir, which is an unusual thing. Says the Al-Sheikh, mizmor. This is a song? This should be a kina, a lament, says the Al-Sheikh. David HaMelech's body is covered in head to toe, from head to toe, in pus-filled blisters, and he's davening for Rachmanis to Hashem, and he starts off, Mizmor LaDavid. This is a song for David. So says the Al-Sheikh, yes, that's David HaMelech. David HaMelech can be suffering such a level of intensity that it's hard to imagine, and he still accepts it as a mizmor, a song, because it's all from Hashem. And says the Al-Sheikh, Mizmor LaDavid LaHazkir, it's not talking about remember to daven, saying Mizmor LaDavid LaHazkir. Be mazkir that it's a Mizmor. That everything is a Mizmor that comes from Hashem. That everything that comes from Hashem, whether it's suffering, or whether it's good things, or we call good things, we should accept with the same level of willingness. So it says David HaMelech, Mizmor LaDavid LaHazkir. Then in section 1, for the next Pesukim, David describes his illness. He says in Pasuk Bey, Hashem, Al beketz b'cha tochicheni, in your anger do not rebuke me, uvecha masecha seyasreini, and in your wrath do not chasten me. Now he says, Al beketz b'cha sosicheni, uses the word al. Don't, in your rage, rebuke me. Uvecha masecha sosicheni. And don't, in your wrath, chase me. There should be another word al there. It should say al beketz b'cha sosicheni, ve'al. There should be another word v'al there. So the Mefarshim all try and determine what happened to the other word al there. And most of the Mefarshim say, you know what, it really means the al is just going on the whole thing. But the Malbim says no. He says, you know what? It's two separate things, says David. Al b'chetz b'cha sochicheni. Don't in your rage rebuke me. U'b'cha masecha sreini. And in your wrath chase me. Don't do both of those things at the same time, says David. No. I'm not sure, says David, that I can take tesas reini and ketz b'cha at the same time. So don't in your rage rebuke me, and please, as a separate thing, don't in your wrath chasten me. It's not, don't do them both. Don't do one, don't do the other. Do them, but not at the same time. I'm not sure, says the Malbim, that David is saying that he can pass both tests at once, that he can take Hashem's rebuke and Hashem's chastening at the same time. He goes on to say, Ki hitzecho, for your arrows nichasu have been shot vi into me. Batinchas olah yadecha, and come down upon me to your hand. Ein meso misari, and there is no soundness, there is no wholeness to my flesh, mipnei zamecha, because of your fury. Ein shalom bat samai mipnei chatasi, and there's no peace in my bones because of my sin. And then he says, Ki avonasai avru raishi, for my sins have covered my head, which is translated here inundated me. Kemasachave yichadu mimeni, like a load that is heavy, they're burdensome more than I could take. So it says avru raishi, has covered my head. It's a way of saying that it's inundated me. But cover my head, David HaMelech is referring to a certain thing. What exactly happened with David, with the Maisa with Bathsheba? Was David HaMelech using his judgment and his intellect, or was he using raw emotions and desire? He had raw emotion and desire for Nisayin and for Bathsheba, and he said, you know what, Avru Rashi, it overcame my head. My head, my intellect knew better than all this. But I let my emotions get the better of me, get the better of my judgment. So David HaMelech calls it Avru Rashi. It covered over my head. And it made such a heavy load. Now, kabed, a heavy, is like a very solid, heavy thing, like a brick is called kabed. Because a sinner hangs their head in shame. David HaMelech felt that he could barely lift his head. He was so shamed for what he had done. Iviyishu namaku, it's disgusting and rotted. Chaburaisai, my sores, mipnei ivalti, because of my foolishness. So the sources we already mentioned are pus-filled blisters all over his body. And because of his foolishness, you know, Chazal tell us, if you think about it, really all of Eiras are foolish. Nobody really sat down and rationalized, okay, I have a really good idea. Hashem wants me to do this. Hashem created the world. Hashem created me. Hashem's in charge of my internal reward. I think I'll do the opposite. All Averas really are Ivalti, are foolishness. All Averas result in foolishness, and the Beis Yosef goes further and says, like Avru Roshi, they all come because of emotion that's not checked by judgment, and checked by a person's intellect. And it happens that a person gets carried away and they do foolishness. Now, we've read many times David HaMelech talks about people who do their averus through trickery, through deceit. Those are rationalizations. People rationalize their averus to death. Right? But really it comes about because of foolishness. It's foolish to do an averus. Sometimes on Yom Kippur you sit and you're davening and you think about something you did and you just, you know, like, wow, I could have had a V8 at that moment where you want to slap yourself in the head because you can't imagine, how could I do such a stupid thing? The stuff in the mouth. My head's heavy, you know, it's foolish. Completely foolish of me. And he said, you know what else? Now, vesi shechaisi ad me'od. I'm bent and I'm bowed down exceedingly. Kol hayom koder hilachti. But all day long in bleakness I go about. You know what else results from averus, he says? Depression. Melancholy. David HaMelech is thinking, and he's laying there in extreme pain, 24 hours a day, because of what he did. And David HaMelech isn't going to rationalize it's someone else's fault, etc. So what he did, it's his own averus that brought this about. It's a very down feeling. So he says, you know, all day long in bleakness I go about. He chasali maler nikle. And my loins are full of a loathsome affliction. The ain meso bifsarai. There's no soundness in my flesh. And I don't think we need to dwell upon how awful this illness is, but I think that last verse pretty much gives us a description of David HaMelech's illness. Something similar, yeah, something along those lines. This is a punishment for 6 months he had this after the Maaser Bat Sheva. So he had it for 6 months. And during that time, he wrote this and the next three kapitala during that time of illness. So now David HaMelech is going for a few verses to touch upon something else. You know, he's ill, but it's not just a physical affliction that's bothering him. He says, "Nufgaisi v'nichdesi ad ma'ay." I'm crushed exceedingly. "Shagti minach maslibi," and I roar from the groaning of my heart. Roar from the groaning of my heart. David HaMelech is. See if I can explain what he means here. When a person is very ill, they have very little strength. Sometimes, if a person is very ill, or even let's say in not such a dramatic case, they're very tired, but they somehow can gather up their strength for one last oomph. So let's say a person's really tired, but they can gather up their strength for one last moment of learning before they just fall asleep for the night. Or a person who's very ill, sometimes they'll gather their strength for one last burst of energy. So that's what David HaMelech is talking about. He roars from the groaning of his heart. He feels so weak, but he just wants to cry out in a dramatic cry how bad he feels. He wants to be able to gather his strength and cry out, and he's calling that Sha'agti minach maslibi, that I roar from the groaning of my heart. Says Hashem, Negdecha kol tavasi, all my yearning is before you. Ve'anchasem imcha lo nistara, and my sighing is not concealed from you. The sighing is not concealed from you. David HaMelech yearns to be close to Hashem. Do you know, why do a lot of people do things? A lot of people do things because other people do. That same thing applies to mitzvahs. A lot of times people do mitzvahs because why? That's the other people doing mitzvahs. Hey, that's cool. He's doing this. You know what? He's taking clothes over to the chassid. You know, I think I'm going to do that too. And you copy what you see other people doing. Oh, you know what? This is a real Eved Hashem. I want to be like that also. Says David HaMelech, I don't copy anybody. I don't look at anybody else. I have inside of me nothing but a pure desire to be close to Hashem. I have no motivation, no external motivation other than to be close to Hashem. I'm not motivated because I saw someone else do something. He says, so before you is all of my tavasi, and my sighing from you is not concealed. All I want, Hashem, and you know, Hashem, that I'm not motivated by anything other than a pure desire to be close to you. He says, Libi Sacharar, my heart is engulfed. Azaveni Kaichi, my strength is forsaken me. Ve'or Einai Gam Hei Meiniti, and the light of my eyes, they're no longer with me either. And my heart is engulfed. Now the word engulfed, actually, take a look at the word engulfed. Sacharar is translated here as engulfed, and that's how I read it. Truthfully, the Shorsha, that word really means encircled. And I think that encircled might be, with all due respect to art school, might be a better translation than engulfed. Because the Radak says that David's Sarchar means that when a person is troubled, what happens to their thoughts? When a person is really worried about something and they lay down at night to go to sleep, their thoughts go round and round and round in a circle. And it doesn't stop. Just when you've figured out all the possible problems, you're right back to where you started from. And it goes around and around in a circle. This is David HaMelech. That's what's happening to me. Libi Sechalkar. My heart is just going around and around and around in circles. My strength has forsaken me. Usually I have the strength, says, to control my thoughts. But now I can't. They just go round and round in circles. And the light of my eyes is no longer with me. And when he says forsaken me, his strength forsaken him, but he knows, he's saying, he's using that word very carefully, as avani, because I forsook the Torah. I did what I shouldn't have done, azaveni kaichi, so my strength has forsaken me. And he's on to say, my friends and my neighbors stand aloof from my affliction. Ukurovai miracho kamadi, and my close ones at a distance stand. My friends stand aloof. Now Rashi says what happened is when you're the melech, a lot of... Alright, so Rashi says that the friends and the companions, when you're the melech, you have a lot of friends. And those friends are not necessarily friends that are going to stand by you in a time of illness. So he's saying, says Rashi, that those fair weather friends, if you will, all of a sudden are nowhere to be found. But the Malbim brings an even deeper sense. He says, you know what he's talking about? His friends and companions stand aloof. It means that they visit, but they back off a little bit because they don't really think he's going to survive. They visit and they stand there, but during the visit they back up a little bit, and you could tell from their demeanor that they're a little bit aloof. You know what, David? Reb David? You sinned. You're David. You're Balavera. Look at the punishment. You know what? A refuah shleima to you, but I got to run. It was David HaMelech. So at least I thought my friends would come. They would give me comfort. He says, they stand aloof from me. Either like Rashi says, they don't come because they weren't really friends, or like the Malbim says, they literally stand aloof. They come, but they're not really holding their breath for Yeshua. Krovai miracha kamari, and my close ones at a distance stand. So krovai, translated here as close ones, really I would translate that as relatives. The Radak says his relatives come, but they also stand at a distance. The Vilna Gaon says beautiful. He says, who are your close ones? Your close ones, the closest thing to you is your mitzvahs. The Vilna Gaon says, you know what David HaMelech is saying? His mitzvos, right, which he thought he had hidden away and wouldn't need to use to olam haba, so they come and they stand at a distance. I need any mitzvahs I can to even come down from the shemayim to help me. They'll stand at a distance. They'll come and they'll stand so that they'll stand in this world so that I can see that, yes, I do have some mitzvahs. So then he says, "Vayinakshu mevakshei nafshi, the seekers have laid snares on my life. Vidorshi raasi dibru chavos, and those who seek my harm speak treacheries. Umirmos kol hayom yagu, and deceit they say all day long." And this is an opportunity too good for David and Alex enemies. Certainly, although we try not to reference too much in the past shirim, we have seen that David and Alex enemies just do not give up. And that one of their best and most commonly used tools is that of speech. They talk about David. Of course he's ill. You know what he did? Did you hear what happened? Right? You think he's royal to be king? You know he's got sons. Maybe one of them should be king. And you know there was this Rus. I'm not sure she was really even Jewish. On and on. So now here David HaMelech is lying in his sickbed. He would like for perhaps his friends to come. Not only are his friends not coming, his enemies are making hay while the sun shines. And his enemies are out talking about him. Yeah, I said that. Oh, listen, you know what? Listen. So what happens when you're a ball of, you know what? You know, the suns are looking pretty good. Enemies are at it. David HaMelech feels not only physically ill, but he feels mentally ill. He's lonely. At best, he has his mitzvahs for company or friends who stand aloof from him. Meanwhile, his same good friends are telling him about all the things that his enemies are saying. Now David HaMelech, in the next few Pesukim, describes his hope in the next section 3. Starting on Pasuk Yud Daled, David HaMelech says, But you know what? I'm like a deaf man. I don't hear them. I'm not paying any attention to them. And like a mute person who doesn't open his mouth. He ignores his enemies because he knows there's no truth to it. How many people can do that? People say something about you and it's completely not true, so it doesn't affect you and you just ignore it. I can only speak for myself when I tell you that that is not an easy thing to do, even if it has no truth to it. Yet David HaMelech, in the midst of all of his pain, is saying, you know, I'm not listening. I know there's no truth to it, so therefore I don't have to listen to it. Now, David HaMelech is saying, well, also, if there were truth to it, I would listen. If there were truth to it, I would listen and I would take their words to heart. But I know that what they say has no truth to it. Rashi says that David HaMelech here is not actually the Radak. I just gave you the explanation. I said Rashi here says David HaMelech is referring to Klal Yisrael. He says Klal Yisrael is like a man that doesn't hear and like a mute that doesn't open his mouth. Well, Klal Yisrael is destined that people will talk about Klal Yisrael and will say things about Klal Yisrael and will come against Klal Yisrael ad Yimais Mashiach. Says David HaMelech, you know what Klal Yisrael is? Kecheresh lo eshma. We don't hear. We know who we are. We know what Hashem gave us. Right? And we don't need to listen. Says David HaMelech, v'ehi ki ish asher lo shemeya. And I was like a man who doesn't hear. V'ein b'piv tachachos. And in whose mouth there's no tachacha, there's no rebuttals back. Humility. David HaMelech never answers back. Shimi ben Gera came and taunted David HaMelech in front of his army and stood up on a hill and yelled down to David HaMelech that you're not fit to be the king because of your avers. David HaMelech did nothing to him. And as the army marched, and we're not talking about inside of vehicles here, we're talking right walking outside, David HaMelech used to have 400 strong men in the front of his army, and then the rest of the army following behind. Shimi ben Gera ran along the hill that paralleled their path, and the whole time, hour after hour after hour, would shout down insults at David. Shimi ben Gera was the head of the Sanhedrin. We're not talking about some crazy guy that, you know, doesn't know anything coming out and yelling, ooh, who are you though? We're talking about the head of the Sanhedrin following David HaMelech's every step and telling him what an evildoer he is and how he doesn't deserve to be the king of Klal Yisrael. In front of David HaMelech, in front of his entire army and entourage, yes.
I don't know if we ever touched upon this in the past when you talked about him, but I'm just wondering because we talk about the Rachmanis that David had on him, but what about, he knew being the Rosh Sanhedrin what the possible consequences were. How did he know that David HaMelech wasn't just going to put him to death? I mean, what gave him
He didn't. He felt Shimon ben Gera meant what he was doing.
He was willing to pay the consequences.
He was always willing to pay the consequence. And even later in life, David HaMelech could have come back and said, now that you've had your children and your descendants are going to come about, and I know that Esther and Mordechai are your descendants, but now I can come back and I can kill you. There's no time, there's no statute of limitations on being Morid B'Malchus. Once you've rebelled against the king, your life is the king's. Come back 20 years later, and say, oh, by the way, remember 20 years ago? Take you out and kill you. David HaMelech never did that. Because you know what? Because he's like someone who doesn't hear. Ki lecha Hashem hochalti, for you Hashem my way, atah sa'ana, you will answer, Hashem elokot, Hashem my God. Hashem will answer their insults. So David HaMelech is not willing to let the insults go unanswered. David HaMelech is not saying, you know what? Insults against the Melech Yisrael do not need to go unanswered, because the Melech Yisrael is not an important position. But David HaMelech is an insult against Melech Yisrael, is an insult against Klal Yisrael, is an insult against Hashem. Now this is what's been accused amongst Klal Yisrael's detractors of being what's called a gullus mentality. But the mentality is that insulting Klal Yisrael, insulting Melech Yisrael, is insulting Hashem. And you know what? Hashem will answer back. Hashem is capable of answering back. Atasa ane, you'll answer. And David HaMelech describes his fear now. He says, Ki amarti pav yismachuli. For as I said, they'll be glad about me, but motra gli olai higdili. And they'll magnify themselves over me. Ki ani letzela nachon, because I'm in crippling pain, u'machoyvi negditami, and my ache is before me always. So David HaMelech is afraid that if he does not survive, what will happen? His enemies will use that as an opportunity to rejoice and to say, you see, we were right all the time. Melech, shmelech. David HaMelech is laying in what can only be described as utter agony, and he's afraid of the possible Chilul Hashem of his enemies rejoicing in his downfall. You know what I worry about it because of my avers. Maybe I will be punished for my avers. Maybe I won't survive. And then what will happen? It will be a tremendous Chilul Hashem. But my foes with life abound. They'll be fine and joyful. And they'll be empowered, those that hate me. Those who repay evil for good harass me because I pursue good, for my pursuit of good. And David HaMelech, we've just seen, is a tremendous honor. He's not bragging here. He's saying that, you know what? All I want to do is serve Hashem. And I show everybody kindnesses, even my enemies. All they want to do is repay me with evil. Their hate is motivated by envy. Most hatred, David HaMelech, is motivated by envy. Finally, David HaMelech finishes with, Al tazveni Hashem, Elokai al tirchach mimeni. Forsake me not, Hashem, my God, be not distant from me. Chushel is rasi, Hashem teshuasi. As machlekes in the Meforshim, whether or not David HaMelech's last pasuk here is talking about himself or about Klal Yisrael. I think for the purposes of our class, it doesn't really matter. I mentioned before there are three opinions in the Gemara about David and Tehillim. The first opinion is that David HaMelech wrote all the kapitulach about himself. Second opinion is that he wrote them about, actually there's four opinions, right? The second opinion is that he wrote them about Klal Yisrael. The third opinion is that he wrote some about himself and some about Klal Yisrael. And the fourth opinion is they're all about both. However, when David HaMelech says, Chushal es rasi, Hashem teshuasi, it's a plaintive cry. Chushal es rasi has been what Klal Yisrael has been saying for a millennium. Chushal es rasi, Hashem, just come and quickly save me. Now, David HaMelech wrote this under enormously trying circumstances. The Chazal tell us that Nebuchadnezzar, the Melech Bavel, and if we recall our history, Nebuchadnezzar, the Melech Bavel, the destroyer of the second base of Mikdash, the enslaver of the Jews, was certainly not by any stretch of the imagination a good guy. I think we can all agree that he would be right up there with history's bad guys. He was so impressed when Hashem saved Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael from the fire, that he was going to write praises to Hashem. He was going to write his own praises to Hashem. Zeh Sefer Nebuchadnezzar. A malach came down and slapped him on the mouth. And after that, he didn't want to write any praises to Hashem. That's the end of the story in the Gemara. We just talked about David HaMelech and his amazing Tehillim. Chazal say that Nebuchadnezzar's Tehillim could have been as good as David HaMelech's. That makes no sense whatsoever. Nebuchadnezzar, a Russian Larusha, could have written praises to Hashem as good as David HaMelech. You know what? The Kutzker Rebbe says, hey, good writing is not a trick. A lot of people have a nice pen, they can write fancy things. But when did Nebuchadnezzar, when was he willing to write praises to Hashem? He was willing to write praises to Hashem when things were going amazingly good and miracles were popping all around. One little owie on his mouth, and he couldn't write any praises to Hashem. Now he has an owie. David HaMelech could write Tehillim while his body was covered from head to toe with pus-filled blisters, the result of which came from his own affairs. And that nobody can do. It's not the fanciness of what David HaMelech is saying here, although certainly the words are beautiful and written with an incredible Ruach HaKodesh. It's the situation in which David HaMelech finds himself that he can daven and say, listen, I know, Hashem, that what happened here is my own fault. I did a virus. I'm doing teshuva. I've done teshuva. I'll do more teshuva. But Hashem, save me. Don't let my enemies rejoice. Hashem, chushal ezrasi. Hasten to save me. That's the kunz of David HaMelech. And that's the kunz of Tehillim. Right? That he could write this in such a situation, asking Hashem for assistance, is incredible. This Tehillim, this kapitel, this kapitel was meant for a person to say when they're in an ace sar. And they're in a time of distress, a time of pain, a time of agony. Now you'll notice sometimes in the Siddur it has, like, if you're sick, say these Tehillim. If you're at a cemetery, say these Tehillim. It has different kapitelach to say, and those kapitelach don't necessarily always reflect the theme of being ill. However, this is a kapitel that actually reflects that theme, and reflects the theme of being ill, that is appropriate for a person to say in an ace tzar. We're coming up in the next day to Tisha B'Av. Ba'ez Hashem Yisborach will be having Tisha B'Av this year in Yerushalayim. Not, it's an ace tzar. And we have to remember that David HaMelech had no problem. David HaMelech was able to maintain focus on being Eved Hashem even amongst an ace tzar beyond belief. So the focus is not on how sad we are because of Tisha B'Av. The focus is not on what we're missing. The focus is we want to be an Eved Hashem. We want to do what David HaMelech did. David, the goal of Tehillim is to give us a blueprint for how to be perfect ruchnius beings. David HaMelech left us the blueprint. He himself worked on himself until he became an ish ruchnius, and he left us the blueprint. Well, the blueprint here says, if you look in the instruction manual, chapter 38 of the manual says, that when in a tremendous time of tsar, focus on the fact that this came because of your averus, but we want to be an Eved Hashem. Hashem, don't let our enemies overtake us. We want to do good. Chusha lezrasi. Hasten to save us. But this is a very good kapitel, chazar over before Tisha B'Av. And Bezos Hashem, this Tisha B'Av will all be in Yerushalayim. Questions.